Welcome to the 23 Minutes in Hell podcast, where author and speaker Bill Wiest and his wife Annette address the many questions and concerns that we all have about the topic of hell and eternity. Bill and Annette believe the subject of hell shouldn't grip us with fear, but instead should inspire us to invest the time we have left on earth wisely. Tune in for today's enlightening broadcast.
Thank you for joining us. Today we are going to discuss deception. You know, in today's culture, deception is commonly practiced and has become the norm for many. Now, deception is defined in Webster's dictionary as the act of causing someone to accept as true or valid what is false or invalid.
And Bill, we know that deceptive statements do usually contain a measure of truth in them. You know, it's kind of like in the same way rat poison contains 99% food and usually less than 1% poison. The poison is still lethal to the rat, and we know deception is dangerous to us, especially as believers.
That's right.
And King Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 10:1, an ounce of foolishness can outweigh a pound of wisdom.
Oh, that's such a good verse.
I like that. You know, the world promotes deception on a regular basis.
That's right.
I mean, listen to the news media, and you can see how fear sells. It's so easy to wrap lies around fear. Truth is often concealed or it's ignored, despised, or hated by ungodly people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and as Christians, we must search for truth. And it does take some digging to find out the truth today about most issues. You know, especially those who only get their news from the liberal news media, they are being deceived and they're being led astray in their thinking because a lot of these issues today are so emotionally charged. People are just being led by their feelings.
That's right.
And their past experiences and what they come out of and what they went through. And so they're all relating on an emotional level and it's bringing people into deception. And Christians, we really need to guard against this.
That's right. It's such lies are promoted and people accept it. But anyway, you know, and look at the car commercials for as far as deception. You know, they advertise low lease payments, and but in small, tiny print, it states a very low yearly mileage allowed. No tax, delivery, prep, or license fees are included, and it's usually the stripped-down version of the car.
Yeah, more deception is in advertising and commercials.
That's right. Oh, and look at the prescription drug commercials. Those are really bad. You know, they will show you a happy family with the children and the dog playing and the cheerful, upbeat music playing in the background.
Oh, I know. In a calm tone, they usually state the deadly side effects. They usually, though, don't state all the side effects at once, but they spread them out throughout the happy message of people enjoying their life again now that they take this wonder drug. It doesn't matter that the side effects may be worse than the person's current condition.
Right, and so many side effects. It's amazing. You know, we must realize that deception is subtle. You know, at first, it's only a minor compromise, which seems reasonable. But then the deception continues and gradually becomes acceptable. Then eventually, truth no longer matters because they've believed a lie. And once the lie is praised as the new truth, actual truth becomes the enemy.
So true. You know, to deceive now becomes the objective for many, Bill, in order to promote a false agenda or a narrative.
That's right.
And deception is used to gain money, power, fame, or control in this world.
That's right. And one of the ways they gain control is stated in these next verses. You know, Psalms 94:20 says, they frame and hide their unrighteous doings under the sacred name of law. Another version says, they frame their mischief by law. In other words, their wrongdoings and evil are forced upon people because it now becomes a law. I mean, that's so despicable.
That's wicked.
Wickedness. You know, in Proverbs 28:4 says, they that forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them. In other words, those who keep the law should stand up and resist the evil, but we don't see that much happening. You know, and then also Isaiah 5:20 says, they call good evil and evil good. They put darkness for light, bitter for sweet, and they justify the wicked and reward them. I mean, it's amazing. You know, to reward the wicked, that again is such an evil thing.
I know, and we really have to guard ourselves against that as believers, not to be calling good evil and evil good. And in Revelation 12:9, it shows us who's behind the deception. It says, Satan, who deceives the whole world. The enemy's tactics are to deceive, and he accomplishes this on a global scale.
That's right. He's really good at deception. You know, and this again is accomplished because the church doesn't take its stand and position of authority. They don't pray against the evil, or they don't get involved in politics, education, law, or the media. Yet we should be involved and voice God's views on these issues. You know, it's the church's fault. And they also cower today's accepted lack of morals and embracement of every wicked way.
I know. I think it's with the watered-down, compromised gospel out there, this is part of the problem. It's coming from, sadly, it's coming from the church in general. And, you know, we all need to know God loves us and be encouraged. But that seems to be all the church is really focusing on, is God loves you, God loves you. God loves you just the way you are. Instead of, you know, grow up, you know, right. God also rebukes you. He chastises you. He challenges you. He
corrects you.
And because he's a loving father, he does all these things. So, and he warns us. And so I think a lot of that is not being preached in the church, including the judgment of God and, you know, what Christians might be facing in the days ahead, and many are not prepared.
Right, and we should stand up against the evil as Christians and not cower down. You know, Jesus stood up to the religious leaders of his day in John 8:44. He said, speaking to the Pharisees, he said, "For you are the children of your father, the devil, and you love to do the evil things he does. He was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies." So, you know, in other words, they hate, they lie, they do evil, and they murder. And Jesus stood up to these people, so we should stand up to the evil also.
Yeah, and he was very bold, and he made it really clear there's only two fathers. You're either your father is of God or it's of the devil. And not everyone is God's child, like so many even Christians say, right. Everybody is God's children. No, that is totally opposite of what the scripture says.
Right. Many of the Christian leaders, the professors, declare that.
Yeah, and that I know you talk about that in your book, 23 Questions About Hell, that not everyone is God's child. And
right.
It's very clear. Jesus, right here in this verse, made it clear.
Right, and here's just a few verses. Galatians 3:26, John 1:12, John 8:44, Romans 9:7 and 8, John 17:9, Ephesians 5:1, all explain that he's not your father till you invited Jesus as your Savior. So there are two fathers, and not everybody is God's child.
Exactly. And so many fall prey to Satan's plan. You know, he deceived Eve into believing a lie. He told her exactly opposite of what God told her, and she chose to believe him. And Bill, I know you'd agree there is no greater deception marketed out there than where a person will spend their eternity after they die.
That's right. You know, the subject of heaven and hell is an area where so many are deceived. Why? Well, because the most valuable possession of a person is their soul, because it's eternal. And their eternal destination will be in one place or the other. So Satan has come up with an endless list of religions and viewpoints regarding the afterlife. You know, if he gives people a wide variety, then who's to say only one way is correct? To say there's only one way to heaven is now stated to be intolerant, narrow-minded, and discriminatory. Yet Jesus said he was the only way in John 14:6, and he also said in Matthew 7:13 and 14 that broad is the way to hell and narrow is the way to heaven.
And yet most people believe just the opposite. They believe most are going to heaven and few are going to hell, or that only the really evil people go to hell.
Right. Here's a couple of polls that reveal that. A 2014 CBS News poll revealed that 82% expect to make it to heaven. And a 2013 Barna poll showed that less than 0.5% expect to end up in hell. So you see the difference. 82% expect to wind up in heaven and only less than 0.5% in hell. Yet that's just the opposite. Jesus said in Matthew 7, many are going to hell and few are going to heaven. You know, and however, you know, heaven is not our default destination. There needs to be a purposeful act on our part. You know, Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God's raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. We have to believe it in our own heart and confess him with our own mouth. And then Jesus said in Luke 13, 3, unless a man repent, you shall all likewise perish. So repentance is a requirement for salvation, and acknowledging and receiving Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior is the only way to heaven. There is only one way.
Yes, and there's a couple other polls that go along with what Jesus said, there's only one way to heaven. There was a Barna poll in 2011 said 50% of all Americans believe that all people are eventually saved, and that percentage might have gone up now because right. that's an older poll. A Lifeway research poll in 2014 said 41% of Americans say people who have never heard of Jesus can still get to heaven.
So see, 50% and 41%, just about half the population thinks, you know, all roads lead to heaven, basically.
And you did a great video on that as well, about what about the person who's never heard about Jesus.
Right, we covered that.
Yeah.
So. But yet, you know, again, most are going to hell, and that the world thinks just the opposite. You know, also, many believe they will simply cease to exist after they die. That's called annihilationism, and there's teachers that teach that. However, that is not true, and first of all, we are eternal beings, and these scriptures verify that. Genesis 1:26, Psalms 26:9, Ecclesiastes 12:7, Isaiah 38:17, Psalms 49:15, Matthew 25:41 through 46, Mark 9:43 through 47, and Luke 12:4 and 5 all point out that we are eternal beings and there is a heaven and a hell. And so that refutes annihilationism, which many believe. You know, or the enemy tells people that hell doesn't exist. Yet Jesus talked about hell in 46 different verses. Also, these other writers of the Bible also spoke of hell. Moses, Samuel, Job, David, Solomon, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Amos, Jonah, Habakkuk, Zechariah, Malachi, John the Baptist, Peter, Paul, James, and Jude. They all spoke of hell along with Jesus.
And the other thing, the other deception too, Bill, is they'll say that it's not a literal place of fire, or that eventually you are let out of hell, as the universalists teach.
Right, and we have a teaching on that it is literal fire. I don't want to go into that now, but also as far as universalism, that's a teaching that believes everybody goes to heaven, you're eventually let out of hell, or that you never even went into hell, you just automatically went to heaven. Well, here's just three verses to refute that belief. Philippians 3:19 says, they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. See, if you believe in universalism, if you go to hell, you eventually let out. Well, this says your end is destruction.
And that means destruction doesn't mean you're destroyed and you cease to exist.
No, that just means you still exist separated from God for all eternity in a place of torment. There are many scriptures we can go into, but we don't have time for that now. And in John 7:33, this is Jesus speaking. He said, then said Jesus unto them, he's talking to the Pharisees, he said, yet a little while I am with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. He was getting ready to go to heaven. He said, you shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, you cannot come. So there he just told them they cannot come to heaven, yet universalism says everybody makes it to heaven. Then Luke 13:24 through 28, Jesus said, strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. At the end of that verse, he says, they'll be thrust out of the kingdom of heaven. So there's many more verses to go through. And just to give you one more thing that refutes, that officially rated universalism as a heresy, this is J.I. Packer, the Dr. J.I. Packer, in the book Hell Under Fire, page 170. He said, quote, whether Roman Catholic, Eastern Orthodox, or Protestant evangelical, for the church has officially rated universalism as a heresy. So it is a heresy, that belief, but yet many professors still teach it at our Christian universities. You know, so like I said, even some Christian scholars and leaders are deceived, and they state that everyone eventually escapes hell or is annihilated when they die, and they actually write books under the banner of Christianity. Now, some of them may be saved, and they're just so deceived, and some of them, I believe, are not even saved. But just to give you two, just quote two of these people that are Christian leaders, John Stott, in the book Hell Under Fire, page 196, he was an English Christian leader and cleric. He said, Well, emotionally, I find the concept, the historic view of an endless hell, intolerable. We need to survey the biblical matters afresh and to open our minds to the possibility that Scripture points in the direction of annihilationism and that eternal conscious torment is a tradition which has to yield to the supreme authority of Scripture. Amazing he could say that when there's so many Scriptures, like I said, 46 different verses Jesus talked about hell that are crystal clear. There's no ambiguity about it whatsoever.
That is amazing. It's deceptive in his own statement to say we need to look at the biblical material afresh and open our minds. And then his way of thinking, this annihilationism way of thinking, we need to yield, you're saying, to the supreme authority of Scripture, but they need to yield that false teaching.
Right.
And have it bow its knee to the authority of Scripture that it is eternal conscious torment.
Right.
People will suffer forever.
Right. Just one verse. Jesus said in Matthew 25:46, these shall go into everlasting life and these shall go into everlasting punishment. He used the same word ionios to describe heaven is everlasting and eternal and hell is everlasting. And they're both a place of torment, you know, both
yes.
are a literal place.
And you did excellent teaching on that on our website as well, on annihilationism and is hell real, is hell eternal, and so forth.
Right. So there's many more scriptures, but one more quote. Edward Fudge, he was an American Christian theologian and lawyer. He said, Scripture nowhere suggests that God is an eternal torturer. It never says that the damned will writhe in ceaseless torment or that the glories of heaven will be blighted by the screams from hell. The idea of conscious everlasting torment was a grievous mistake, a horrible error, a gross slander against the Heavenly Father, whose character we truly see in the life of Jesus of Nazareth. That's in the book Hell Under Fire, page 78. Well, that's, Jesus, again, was so clear about hell. Did he not read all those verses? I don't understand.
I know. You know? How can someone who studies the Scriptures be so easily deceived?
I know,
you know, two reasons. Like you said, some of them are not born-again believers that are scholars
right.
and that teach this stuff. And then also many people place their opinions above the Word of God.
That's right. They do. They don't value the Word of God. We need to look at just the Word. What does the Word say and take it literally? You know, Jesus, like I said, talked about hell in 46 verses in order to warn us of the impending danger for those who do not repent and receive him as their Lord and Savior. And this verse is interesting. Proverbs 14:8 says, the prudent understands where they are going, but fools deceive themselves. So
yes.
Again, this is another area people are deceived into their eternal destinations.
Today, so many do not know what truth is, and they cannot even discern right from wrong, Bill. You know, I like this quote from Winston Churchill. He said, truth is so valued that it is protected by an army of lies.
Oh, that is such a good quote. I like that. You know, also John 18:37-38, Jesus said to Pilate, I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. And Pilate said unto Jesus, what is truth? So in general, the world thinks of truth as relative, subjective, and not absolute.
And however, truth we know is absolute. And Jesus didn't answer Pilate in that instance, but earlier he said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me.
That's right. He is the only way to heaven. You know, Jesus said in John 17:17, your word is truth. And David said in Psalms 119, thy commandments are truth. And he said, the entirety of your word is truth. So we must weigh everything we believe against the word of God. Well, we're going to have to finish this next time. So we'll see you later.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please be sure to subscribe, rate this program, and share it on social media outlets. To stay in touch with us and learn more about this ministry, consider checking out our resources at soulchoiceministries.org.